I just want to make a couple comments that I think are very important. When we talk about the God mirror, and when we talk about your identity in Christ, what you have to realize is that you are not equipped, designed, nor expected to discover your total God mirror by yourself. Will never happen. And you say, why won't it happen? You can spend all the time you want before God and you can hear things, but you are not expected nor designed to find it yourself. And you see, herein lies the secret of the dynamics of the kingdom, is that we are made to bond together through the one another's and calling each other to life. One of the most life-changing things that can happen is when you're in an environment of people who are all motivated not to just receive for themselves, but to call each other to their best, to their potential, to a more excellent way. That's the excitement. And wherever you are, no matter what church you're in, you're going to be enhanced, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to grow when you create a culture of people who are calling each other to their God mirrors. What's that?
Accountability.
To become all the encouragement, to be all that God has called you to be. Now, there's a person that has called me to life that probably changed my life more than anybody ever did. I told you I didn't have a father. As a father, my privilege, my greatest privilege is calling my children to life. I can be like law to my children and point out everything they've done wrong. If I'm living by law, then I'm going to respond according to law, because that's all I know. And so when the counselor came and he told me I was a master suppressor and I learned about behavior modification, I realized also that I had to repent to my children because I was putting my behavior modification on them and expecting them to modify their behavior. So you can live by law, but you're going to put law on your children too, and then you're going to expect law from everybody else. Legalism. And you'll just agree with the voice of accusation of the enemy, which is constantly speaking in harsh tones. The difference between God's voice and the voice of the accuser of the brethren is simply this. God says some hard things many times, but God always speaks to his children as a father speaks to a son. Always. He speaks as a father to a son. But the enemy speaks as a master to a slave. Do you understand that? That is really big. Now, I'm not going to give you the whole teaching on accusation, but I tell you, for a large part of my life, I was driven by accusation because I didn't know the difference between the voice of accusation and the voice of God, and I believed that the times that the enemy was telling me to do religious things, good things, even read my Bible, even pray. Talk to people about Jesus. And I'd follow it. And I'd do it. I was obedient to it. Not even realizing that it was the voice of accusation of the enemy Satan disguising himself as an angel of light. If I'd read my Bible, he'd say, you didn't read it enough. Read it more. If there's something I do that in my heart I felt like was right to do, the enemy said, You shouldn't listen to that. You're going to be punished because of that. If there's times I felt like I did a good job on something and I said, thank you, oh, wow, that was a good job. The enemy would come and said, you're proud. Now I'm taking that gift away from you. You lost your reward. Things like that. That I had to realize the voice of God speaks as a father to a son. The voice of the enemy is a master to a slave. And I had to purge myself. Still, all the time, those voices come. And I have to say, wait a minute. Is that the voice of the shepherd? Or is that the voice of the enemy telling me to do something religious? And most of the time, by the very tone, I can discern. John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep will not follow the voice of the thief or the stranger. And the enemy is a stranger. But you know, we can have and create an environment where people are continually calling each other to life. Church can be very cold sometimes, where you come in and you all sit together and everybody's receiving for themselves. But I tell you, the way the real church operates, according to Ephesians 4:16, is when every joint is doing its part. We're intertwined, we're one. We're together, and we're together because we all have different functions in the body of Christ, but I support you and your function, and you support me. And traditionally, because we don't have calling to life, diversity, our differences have been the point of separation. When in reality, God created us different so that we would have exceeding abundant forward motion. Very much more productive and very much more life-giving that we're all different. And so what happens in traditional religiosity and churchianity is we create clonism. We try to make everybody a clone. Everybody should read their Bible 2 hours a day. Everyone should pray an hour a day. Everyone should witness to people. Everyone should come to church. Everyone should dress a certain way. Everyone should do this and do that. And we've created a culture of clones when God created his kingdom so that people could be different, diverse, and still express who he was, that when we all come together and every joint do his part, we come and connect and we reflect the metron of the stature or fullness of Christ. That's what that word is in Ephesians 4:16, the metron of the stature and fullness of Christ. The King James translates it very weakly, measure. Measure doesn't mean that. It means metron, means the place of authority, the completeness of who you are. But as believers, if we are going to conquer this whole thing called sexual lust, there has to, and not just sexual lust, but the immaturity in the body of Christ, we have to become and cultivate a culture where every believer knows that there's a place that he or she is influential in somebody else's life. And that everybody, no matter who you are, is designed to be needed by somebody else. Instead of being islands and being into ourselves, you know? We've tried to cultivate that culture at Acts, our church. And I would say Acts is an extremely prophetic church as far as people understanding calling to life. But I think, sometimes I think, and it's on a scale of 0 to 100, maybe we're at 5. And I'm not saying we're better than anybody else, but I know a lot of churches that are minus 22, you know? So we bring someone up front, and we say, hey, let's pray for them, and say, anyone want to come up and pray? It's like, whoosh! You know, we have a whole church. I would say the majority of the church is very familiar with the prophetic and calling to life. But it's amazing. And the neat part about that, the amazing part is when you just, Allow God to just speak through you. Your words will change people's lives. What you say, what you see in somebody else, God will give you the opportunity to sway someone that's off the path back onto the path. He spoke the world into existence. That's right. Absolutely. We give rhema to people. We speak rhema words. Rhema words are just direct words of God, you know, that we speak to people. Rhema. What's that?
Saying words of God.
Yes. Yep. Where it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every rhema that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Well, guess what? The rhema that proceeds forth from the mouth of God may be through your mouth. And that be the mouth of God. It says, take in with you the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of God. If you abide in me and my rhema abides in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done for you. It's the understanding of the rhema. It's Old Testament, but where it says, my word shall not return to me void, but it shall prosper. It will prosper, and that which I please accomplish that which I set it to accomplish. Isaiah 55:11. That's not a Greek word, but the concept there is the rhema. Not just slapping the Bible on someone. It's that which comes from God. His word will not return void. And the neat part about the prophetic is like, my life was changed by it. I started to say the greatest prophet. The person that prophetically called me to life, and I'm here because of that, was my wife, Ruthie. We created a culture that we call each other to life. There's probably not a day goes by that something prophetic doesn't go between us. Let me look at my phone. Or just something that calls me to life, huh? Just as I'm traveling down here, God bless you today, babe. The anointing of God is upon you. I love you, missing you. Just a constant calling to life. Even if it's just a little word of encouragement like that, that I know when she says, the anointing is upon you. When I go out to consult at a business, I do business consulting, Ruthie will always look at me. Every time she'll look at me, she goes, don't forget, you have the keys. You have the keys. And I feel like wherever I go, no matter how hard the situation is, I'll come home and say, she'll say, did you have the keys? I say, yes, I had the keys. Almost without fail. Are we committed to just receiving for ourselves and growing our own little person? Are we saying within our brokenness, within our within our frailty and inadequacy in doing everything right? That the glory of that is that God takes us in incomplete vessels and uses us to speak life into other people. I don't care if you have an ankle bracelet, bud. I don't know what happened. I don't know what you did. I just know in God there's restoration. I don't know what consequences you have to go through, whatever's legitimate, whatever. But I want to tell you, your spirit doesn't have to be shut down. That you can start out from wherever you are and rebuild. And so I'm sitting talking with George. And he told him how his pastor, he doesn't get to church much, but his pastor, who he used to pastor, is now a pastor, and came up to him and said, George, he said, you know, I would like you to do some teaching sometime. And he said, yeah, and I told him, by fall, I know I'm going to be ready to teach. And then he said to him, yeah, but who wants to listen to a guy who's in my kiss situation, and it's 400 pounds and can't get off the couch and blah, blah, blah. Then later on in the conversation, I said, when I started dressing lies, I said, George, I said, wait till fall? I said, you don't need to wait till fall. You can't wait till you're all better. I said, you need to start right now. And I told him how to start right now. I said, now. And I said, and don't give me that stuff that people aren't going to listen to someone because of you and your state. I said, that is a lie. All you need to tell people is you're on a journey and you're recovering. And they're going to listen to your words because your words are of God. You speak the word of God. He says, yes, I know that's a lie. I feel like he was ready to step up and step out of his mess. You don't have to have your act together to speak life into somebody else. But I'm telling you, every guy in our journeys, I need you and you need me. Tim has spoken into my life all the time. He's constantly, there's almost never a time that I'm doing something that he doesn't have a prophetic word for me. Daryl spoke a word. He spoke several words to me, but we got together a couple weeks ago and I gathered a whole bunch of people around to say, I got all these opportunities in ministry and stuff. What do I do? And I called my team and they all prophesied over me. And I walked away with such direction. Are you getting this? Do you understand? Huh? Okay, now I want to do something. You know, it might be awkward. Maybe you're used to it. I don't know. Maybe you do it all the time. I'm not afraid of silence. I'm not afraid of trial and error. But let's just practice a little bit because I think it's important. Practice. Practice what? Man, that's the heaviest daggone pulpit I've ever seen in my life. Bob. Guys, come on up. Let's gather around them. Just gather around them. Did you know the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet? Do you know the calling to life isn't waiting on God just to do something? Sometimes that happens. But it says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, it says that the one who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when God manifests himself, people say, is that God or is you? Yes. It is what you have to learn is that as you abide in him, he becomes a well within you. The spirit of prophet is subject to a prophet. So your buddy up the street, Dale Mast, who is on a totally different level of the prophetic than me. I didn't say better or anything else. He's just on a different level. You know, he can walk into a whole room full of these national leaders and he'll prophesy over everyone just like, he's a prophet, not just prophetic. But you know, we may not be prophets, but we can all be prophetic. I mean, when the Bible says covet to prophesy, why would he say that if we weren't all able to prophesy? And sometimes the prophetic is just speaking out of the well of our heart, words of encouragement. I have a friend, Donnie. You know, Donnie never says, thus saith the Lord, anything. He'll just come up and say, bro, let me tell you. This is what you need to do. You know, it's prophesied. He's speaking out of the well of who he is. Do you understand? So lay hands on this brother. Go ahead, some of you. We won't put too many. And I want you, don't close your eyes. We always close our eyes. Don't close your eyes. Open your eyes. Look into his heart. And I want you to say, what would God, through who I am, want to say to this brother, Bob, right? To Bob. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for Bob. Lord, in the name of Jesus, And the first thing comes to me, Bob, is that there is in your spirit, man, there is a hunger. It's like I wait upon the Lord. I want what you have. Your spirit, man, is crying out to the Lord. And I feel like, I don't know if it's pain as you're going through or questions or confusions or whatever, but you're hungering for truth. You're hungering for God. And in the name of Jesus, that may be a simple verification, but is that your heart? Is that what you feel?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. I just sense that, and God's affirming. He hears you. He hears you. He doesn't, I wish he'd talk to me, you know, like talking to Tim, you know, just talk back and forth. He doesn't. But you know what? He's there. And I just feel like he showed me that just to affirm that he's hearing your prayers. Okay. He's hearing your prayers. Okay. He knows you're hungry. Okay. His timing is different. You know, I don't like that about him. But then again, he's never asked me for advice. But you know what? I'm glad he is the way he is because he's the best. And Father God, we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay? What's God saying?
Bruce, I just hear a simple thing. I don't want to interrupt you, but Bob, I want you to open your eyes and take a glance at the guys around you. There's a lot of power in the men that are around you. If you all get together and decide to do something, I don't think I'd want to get in your way. There's a lot of power in the guys that are around you. So whatever that means to you, I'll let it there.
Not asking you to be spooky, just asking you to look at Brother Bob and just say, what's in your spirit?
That's that one sentence. You can do it.
You say what?
An arena.
Uh-huh. Something floating around in someone's spirit and you don't feel good enough. See, this is all an identity thing, people. When you realize how valuable you are to God, you could just say, you come to God and you come like this, and God's like, you know, as time, you know, as you learn to do it, he'll give you stuff. But somebody's sensing something, but you don't feel like, how do I know this is God? Just say it. You know? Don't matter even if you make a mistake. We don't want clean stalls. We have to scoop poop every now and then. That's all right. Clean stalls are boring, you know.
Father, I feel like God's saying that he will always be with you through tough times and good times.
strong, courageous, attentive to what I'm doing. Don't fear, because I'm always with you.
Yeah.
And those are, that's a scripture that he told to Joshua and also to Saul. Right. He brings that each time when I'm feeling low. Mm-hmm. That's what he cries out to my heart.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool.
Over and over he says, I will be with you.
Good. Anybody else? Got anything?
Yeah, just he wants you to share the burden with him. Give him the burden. And like, I just feel like you're trying to do it all yourself. Like you feel it's all on you. But, you know, give it to him. That's what he wants.
Yeah, cool.
I don't think this is like God. It's not like a message from God. It's just what I'm feeling in my spirit. I feel like there's something that you're trying to do with the Lord or for the Lord, and things didn't go the way that you had hoped and prayed and worked for, and then there's this disappointment and pain that settled in, and so there's unanswered questions, and I could be totally off. Is that on or off?
On.
Okay. And and so it's in this situation where, I don't know, I just want to pray blessing on you. Father, I lift your son to you, I lift Bob to you, and I ask that you would, in a fresh way, release the hurt from his heart, release the disappointment from his heart, release the sense of, it's like the dreams almost feel like the dreams died, and I don't even know if that's true or not, like if the dreams are dead or if they've been delayed, or, God, we don't know. The stuff we just don't know on this side. And I'm asking God that you carry his heart, that you heal his heart. Are you married?
Oh, yeah.
Heal his wife's heart. In Jesus' name, would you make them a refuge for each other in this time? I just feel like almost crying for you. Bring such an encouragement to both of them in Jesus' name. I declare over him a season of encouragement, a season of refreshing and renewing. Getting back to the simplicity of not trying to do great things for God, but just being with you, God, in a way that's simple and sincere, to know that the little things you do in obedience to God's voice matter so much more than any great things you could do for the kingdom. Like Mother Teresa said, let's not labor to do huge things for God, let's labor to do small things with great love. Such sacrifices bring such pleasure to God's heart. Bless Bob and his wife and his family in Jesus' name.
Okay. How about you? Step in here. And this, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, give me your name again.
Anthony.
His brother is Caleb.
Yes.
Okay.
Anthony, what's your middle name?
Robert.
That's mine. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for Anthony and I thank you for him. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I feel like what comes to me is that in a few years, you're going to look back at your life and say that God took you on a different pathway, that just you would never have known the pathway. You would never have been able to figure it out. A good pathway. And that even things that he wants to do in your life are far beyond what you feel like you're able to do or experience or whatever. That even sometimes you'll look at people and you say, how do they do that? What do they do? That you're going to know that people are going to look at you and say the same thing. And I just feel like that's a journey that God wants to take you on. How old are you?
24.
Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, whatever this is, Lord, new things. Father God, release dreams, release visions. In the name of Jesus, I just say that you are not allowed to sabotage dreams. I'm not telling you have to do everything you want to do or every dream you come, but you are no longer allowed to sabotage them. that as dreams come to you, you are not to say, oh, can I do this or can I do this? Do I have money to do this or whatever? You're to say, God, do you want, is this where you want me to go? Because where he wants you to go, it will be a journey of faith and he will provide for you. And that's what I feel to pray. No more sabotaging of dreams that come into your life, that come into your natural mind in one ear and out the other ear because you're not worthy or you don't have the money or you don't do this or that. But you are to consider everything that comes because what God wants you to do is bigger than you can do. It's out there. But he will do it. You know, he will do it. And he will do it in amazing ways. And Lord, I just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Somebody else, what would God be saying through you to Anthony? Look into his heart. What do you see?
So when Bruce was praying over you, what was on this? The picture I got was Samuel with his horn of oil. And he broke it over David's head. You are a David.
Hallelujah.
So you are anointed to do it. Yes. As your honest children, you're being glad. And you have the intelligence and the wherewithal to follow that lead. Is that lead? Because it's going to lead you to greater things. That's the truth. That you're starting at this young age.
Telling you, reminding you that nothing needs to be wasted in this kingdom. That any experience you go through that you feel like is wrong or bad, just as much as David, you know, after Samuel broke that thing, he faced a lot of things that didn't seem to be really because of King.
That's right.
But yet they were all instrumental in leading him to that point, in shaping him. So with God's economy, nothing is wasted.
God says, step out in courage, step out in faith. Let the anointing of God flow through you as you minister and use it.
I got something I want you to process. I want you to process it back to me. I've never gotten anything on this line before for anybody. But what I felt like the Lord was saying, and so you tell me, how this? I feel like I'm supposed to ask you, how does that process in you? But he's going to give you a greater ability to reach out to people that you've never met. New people, wherever you are, grocery store, Walmart, in culture, side work, whatever, that you're going to be extremely social with people that you've never met. But you're going to do it in the Lord. You're going to build relationship, just even if it's just a little relationship with a server at a restaurant or a place where you're in ministry or the church. I don't know. Just that you're going to get great joy out of just breaking through insecure barriers, and you're going to have such confidence, and you're not going to have any fear at all doing that. Now you respond to me on that.
I've always wanted to be that. One of my biggest frustrations in ministry has been not feeling like I have the people to minister to.
Okay.
The people to reach to. And I see people that are really good with, they never know, like they never meet a stranger.
Okay.
And I'm like, man, how do you get like that? I'd like to be like that. I hate meeting strangers.
Okay.
I just want to cut to the chase and like, just get to know somebody. Just
yeah. So God revealed a desire of your heart. And he's telling you, he's promising you, I believe, that he's going to bring it to pass in your life. Now you have to join with that faith, you see? And you have to take the courage of Joshua 1:8-9. You have to take the courage of, yeah, you quoted that, right? You have to take that courage and be strong and of good courage and obey. But it's going to get to the place where it's going to be who you are, okay? And people are going to look at you and say, man, how do you do that, okay? All right, cool. Good. One more? Huh?
You want to do it to me?
Oh, no, I wasn't saying that, but come on. Come on. Hey, listen, do you see how just times of calling to life, it can happen. You can wake up in the morning and have someone in your heart and give them a call. Change your life. You know, this isn't spookified stuff that you do in church. This is 24/7 that when we're walking, we're calling each other to life all the time. Like I say, I'm in a relationship with Tim, and it's just Tim and his wife, Sandy. And he and Sandy are always giving Ruthie and I words. Just things that carry us through the day or give us answers to a prayer. Just because it's the culture of calling each other to life. Father God, in the name of... Oh, I'm sorry. I knew your name, but don't tell me. Huh? Russell. Okay, Mr. Russell. Father God, in the name of Jesus. Russell, I don't know you. But it's almost like, and I felt like I heard it over there when I was praying for you. Mm-hmm. There's some things that are strong paradigms that you need to let go. And you're not letting them go because they're bad. It's you're letting them go to God. And I feel it real strong. It's just like there's a new trust in your life that you don't carry the responsibility for things that God wants to carry because he's giving you new foci or focuses. Mm-hmm. I think it's both. he's giving you new focuses, and he's going to teach you new things, but there's going to be some things that it's going to be hard. It almost takes courage to let them go because they're good. But it's just like you can't do everything. He's just saying, okay, shift here because I have a different grace that I'm going to do in your life. And in places where you haven't been an encouragement, you're going to be an encourager. And God's going to make you a Barnabas in new ways that you haven't been a Barnabas, an encourager, because you're going to understand that people need what you have. And you're going to see things in people that you never saw before or knew before, but you're going to be, it's going to point out things in their life, and you're just going to go and just gently encourage them or say, I noticed that. Nobody else did, but I noticed that. Okay.
Is it?
Did I don't even remember.
Did you let go of a...
Yeah.
It was the word paradigm.
Paradigm, yeah.
What's the definition of
paradigm? A paradigm would be a thought process, a mentality, a model of something, just how you think, mm-hmm. that you're going to let down models of how you think, paradigms, and replace them with just more superior. Or excellent parent. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, belief systems. Yep, absolutely. Yeah, good. Anybody else got something for this rascal?
Don't go back.
Don't go to Russell.
We're not done.
No, you know, the anointing is just coming through the ceiling, you know. Just, hey, everybody, look at him. Just the simplicity of saying, what might God want to say through you to Russell?
Because what came to me is you, in your natural man, you're going to feel like you have to wrestle with God over it.
to get the word of God. And what I heard so clearly is, you don't get to wrestle for this. You are a person whose spirit will not be silent. Your spirit will always be looking forward. But in this is something that God wants to give you just because he loves you. And it's almost like you need to get to a place where you're laying on the floor with your hands up in the air saying, I give up. This isn't about me. Who he has designed you to be is someone who is strong and who has answers. So you hear that clearly about yourself. But for whatever reason in this situation, God's saying, I'm not going to do it the way you want. I need to be careful how I say that, because you need to take all these things and discern them with God. But God's saying in this case, I want you to know that I'm doing it. I'm giving this to you, not because of what you do, just because I love you. And it's, as Bruce said, it may not look the way it's looked before. It may be different. So, Father God, I thank you for the privilege of blessing this brother in Jesus' name. And asking that your Holy Spirit will come. And reminding him that your Holy Spirit is always coming. And looking to provide comfort, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You're never too old to find a new way to think. Yeah, bless you. And that bless you in that pursuit.
I have to say, Russell, I want you to realize that this is a free gift. And I feel like you need to stop trying to buy it, stop trying to deserve, earn it, stop trying to pick it. Off the tree, just accept it. Because it's free. It's a free gift.
Kind of corny, but Russell, do you know how to drink water?
Drink water?
Yeah, and how to drink water.
My sixth grade teacher said, we're going to teach you how to drink water. I wait for months, and finally ask him, how do you drink water? He never did answer the question. But yes, I do. Go ahead.
Receiving what God has for you is the easiest thing in life.
Wow. That's good. That's good.
It doesn't matter how old it is. It doesn't matter how short it is. It don't matter anything about that vessel. But it's as easy as drinking water.
Isn't that something? I need that.
It's so interesting that God brought that, because I think that's significant. Because what was important to Russell is the way that things are done, how things are done, what they mean. It's evidence to me, because when his sixth grade teacher said he was going to teach him how to drink water, he wanted to know the whys and the wherefores and the how do we do that. And that's how God designed you. That is how God designed you. So don't forsake that. And be aware that God wants you to just don't worry about it.
Okay. Drink the water and then give other people that water.
That drink.
Good. Yeah. That's awesome.
Okay. Now, one more prayer. I'm just going to pray for if there's someone here, as I've been talking about rebellion and how rebellion is the places where, let me just read you some notes here. And it may be just because of your false concept that you can't give yourself to God the whole way, because you have a false concept of what it means to give yourself to God. So God's not even letting you give yourself. I don't even know where it is. Yeah. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, for them. Okay, it's the places is, I am not confident that I can live up to what God wants of me, so I give only what I'm comfortable with. I have boundaries drawn of what I'm willing to do and not to do. I will keep a measure of my own control because that keeps me safe. I don't like God's ways, so I intentionally choose to do it my way. God will forgive me, so I will take advantage of forgiveness of his heart. I'll be a good Christian, but I'm not striving to be a great one. I'm holding on to a grudge because God has grace. Or when you give yourself latitude to disobey, like I'll go anywhere, but I won't go to China or to somewhere else. God... What I've learned about God is that he works in our hearts both to will, that means to desire, and to do his good pleasure. God's not a cruel, if you're used to the accuser, the brother who speaks to you as a master to a slave, that's not God. But there may be someone who's just, you've accepted Jesus into your heart, but you've never given everything to him. Even to the place where you've never opened up for the Holy Spirit to take full control of your life. And you would like a prayer to say, I would just like someone to pray for me, lay hands on me, pray for me. To just so that the fullness of the Spirit will take over so Christ can live in me, the hope of glory. And I'm willing to give up my rebellion, just the places that I haven't given to God. And I don't know what it looks like. And I'm not going to go into legalism, but I'm just willing to say, God, now from this time forth, whatever you want, I give to you. I'm totally 100% yours, whatever that means. And if you'd like a prayer, just stand right there, and I'll pray for you if there's anybody here like that. Okay. Good. Is there anybody else? Yeah, you can stay with your friend. You too, you Bob and Tim. Anybody else? Okay, I'm just going to wait because I feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking to someone else, and you're contemplating yay and nay, and honestly, when you just give it all. You'll never regret. Okay? Just give a few more minutes. Just come on up here. For somebody else. Just feel like real strong, like Holy Spirit's talking. Okay? Okay, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for Tim and for Bob. Lord, right now we break any chain, any legal place the enemy has. Lord, because there are vessels here that are freely giving themselves to you and saying, do with me what you want. Father, whatever that means, however it looks, whatever way they have to navigate to. And God, in the name of Jesus, we pray the fullness of the Holy Spirit. New giftings, new metrons, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And even as the brother said, it's like pouring oil. We pour the oil of the Spirit into their life. That the entrance of God into their heart. It's not about feeling. It's about truth. But Father God, that they might know, even from this day forth, that things are different, things have changed, and things will change. Father God, a new intimacy, a new insight, and Father God, now a new possession that you have in the name of Jesus. And now we just speak, be filled with the Holy Spirit to fullness. Be filled with the insight and the revelation of how to walk with your Father God in a new way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.